I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, what's up, Surf Splendor podcast listeners? Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Scales, bringing you an episode of Surf News today. We're recapping the Bells Beach event, the Big Wave Award nominees, and of course, all of the usual banter between Scott and I that you've come to, I don't know, enjoy. Maybe you don't. Not sure. But anyway, welcome back to the show. SurfSplendorPodcast.com is the website where you can find all of the video and links to videos and links to articles that we discuss in this show. There's a comment section. Feel free to leave a comment about today's show. Chime in on the conversation. And then follow us on social media at SurfSplendor if you'd care to do that. That's a great way to share the show with friends. All right. I believe that is all. I will sign us off in the end, but for the next hour and 15 minutes or so, I hope that you enjoy the show.
Yeah, guy. Down the line, Surf Talk Radio, broadcasting live from Shack Surfing Heritage and Culture Center.
Are you filming me right now? Oh, crap. Or is that camera pointed back at you?
I just went straight to Snapchat.
Oh,
I'm on Snapchat now. And so
wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's my first appearance, I think. Other than my little brothers, I think, trying to like catch me doing something.
Snapchat, David Lee Scales, Scott Bass with you. Broadcasting live, Surfing Heritage and Culture Center.
Your microphone's
yeah, so
backwards.
Snapchat. So you're on Snapchat now.
Good to know.
I just started
Thank you.
Snapchatting.
How's that going? So
it's going good.
I thought you had to be under 30 to Snapchat.
Apparently, that's incorrect.
Turn
you
your
should
mic
check
around.
It out. Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's our levels, by the way? Because the sound quality of my last podcast was horrendous. I got a lot of. I know yours was probably brilliant. It sounded beautiful over there on Surf Splendor.
What do you know?
You sent it to me, and it's.
I try to mess with yours I'm claiming before I send it to you.
I've got a big conspiracy theory built up in my head.
Here's what happened. Or for some reason. My computer has been creating some echo sound. Like midway through the show, there'll be like a glitch sound. It goes into echo and sometimes it clears up. And I can fix it in post, but I didn't catch it before I had sent it to you. But I think
but you fixed your version of the show.
Of course.
Yeah. And then you said you would send me the new version.
I did.
You did? I never saw it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll double check.
No, you can. This is where you apologize.
I have no apology.
No apology.
I'm doing a bunch of the work. No, I'm just kidding.
That's great. Look at this. We got a little rift going already. We got a little. This is good for pod.
So what I think the real problem was is I was just maxed out on storage space, and the computer tends to create little malfunctions when it is that. So I deleted a bunch of stuff. I think we should be good to go.
I think you were maxed out on compassion for my show. You just wanted to.
Zero compassion, buddy.
Dude, I got tickets to John Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience.
Okay.
They're coming up in May.
Okay.
Now, I have seen them before. John Bonham's son, or excuse me, Jason Bonham. Let's get that straight. Jason Bonham, son of now deceased Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham. So Jason Bonham, and as I mentioned, I saw them at the Belly Up Tavern last year. They were incredible. And I've seen, as you know, and many of the listeners know, I've seen every Led Zeppelin cover band but one. There's one, I mean, that's of note, you know, that's out there that's touring nationally or internationally. And there's one other one that's really pretty radical. But I've seen three or four of them, and they're all pretty good. But this one has it all. It has the incredible guitar players, the incredible vocalist sounding just like Robert Plant. Jason Bonham on drums, which is insane. Like he's just as good or better than his father,
wow.
who's you could argue is an underrated rock drummer, and then the keyboardist slash mandolin player slash acoustic guy along with the guitar player who does a lot of that John Paul Jones stuff. So if you're a Led Zeppelin fan, I would urge you to check out Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Experience. Last time they played, they did all of Led Zeppelin 3 and Led Zeppelin 4. Bang, just super tight.
Right.
Yeah.
And is this at the Belly Up as well?
No, this is at Sequan Casino out in East San Diego coming up. They travel all over.
Is the Belly Up like the greatest venue ever?
It's one of them. I mean, the Belly Up, incredible. Look, it's just down the road from my house. Yeah. So in that regard, it's neat. But yeah, for 45, 50 years, the Belly Up Tavern's been hosting incredible acts. You know, and it's this little hole in the wall, or it was kind of a hole in the wall. It's actually World War II bunkers. Not bunkers. What's the word I'm looking for? Those aluminum shells. What are they called? Those
a Quonset hut?
Yes, thank you. These World War II Quonset huts. And interestingly, the old Donald Takeyama factory was there. It was called Surfing's New Image. Before that, John Price ran Surfboards Hawaii out of there. And this is in the mid-60s. So a lot of guys went through that building from a surfboard making standpoint. Guys like, well, I mentioned Donald Takeyama, John Price, a lot of guys I'm going to miss, but you know, guys like Ed Wright and Al Merrick and Ken Bradshaw, like a slew of guys. Like, right. I'm not even touching the all, you know, either had boards made there or shaped there during some stint, you know.
Crazy.
Yeah, well, but the Belly Up Tavern, it's an incredible place. And yeah.
I mean, Rolling Stones played there.
The Rolling Stones.
Just 6 months ago or 9 months ago. Or whatever.
You know who else played there recently after the Stones was. These are private parties, so you can't get into them. But who's the. I am so bad with my memory. Who's the guy from the Seattle, the really good Seattle grunge band?
Nirvana.
Dave Grohl. Yeah. What's his band called?
Foo Fighters.
Yeah, Foo Fighters. So Foo Fighters played there with one of those crooning guys, one of those crooning Sinatra types, Tony Bennett.
What?
The Foo Fighters, Tony Bennett, and Lady Gaga.
What?
Yeah, they played a private party.
Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett, I think, recorded some duets together or
something. Yeah, exactly. And there was somebody else. There was some other heavy hitter, like a rap guy. Like, basically, the manager of all of those people lives in Rancho Santa Fe or something and has a connection to their. They're all on the same label. And so they had a private party that was pretty crazy.
Fascinating.
I guess. I didn't see it, but. Yeah, but the Belly Up, it's insane. I mean, Warren Haynes just played there. He's the lead guitarist for the old Allman Brothers. He's the government mule guy. I mean, like, if you just Google Belly Up Tavern, you'll see who's playing there right now. Right. It's probably some incredible list of...
I've been listening to this, I don't know, like, kind of hip-hop type album. This guy's his name's Anderson .Paak.
Yeah.
P-A-A-K. And I think the album's produced by Dr. Dre's label. But anyway, it's called Malibu. And in between songs, he'll sample, you know, people sample audio bits from other music or just pop culture or something. I'm listening to this album and it cuts to Jerry Lopez's voice talking about a wipeout. Like, oh man, and I was held down for so long. I had this out of body experience where I could see my body like rolling under the water. And I thought that maybe I had a separate tab open on my computer where something was playing. Because I couldn't imagine that Anderson .Paak would be sampling Jerry Lopez's voice. And I didn't. It was actually off this Anderson .Paak album. I don't think he even knows who Jerry Lopez is.
I was just
going
to ask you that.
I think he just...
He liked the out-of-body experience part of the story.
He just YouTubed surfing clips or something and then stole the audio off of YouTube. And then throughout the album, there's other little samples of people who I can't quite identify.
Yeah.
But there's basically surfing... sampling woven into this album. And the album's fantastic. Like, I was listening to the album because I love it. But then that happened.
What kind of music is this Paak guy?
He's a pianist, but it's like hip-hop. But not like... I don't know how to really describe it.
It's avant-garde.
Cool. Or like maybe some R&B kind of mixed in. Like,
I'd like
really
to check it out.
Flow.
Send that over and put it on your SurfSplendorPodcast.com.
Yeah, I definitely will.
I'll
close out this show.
I could Google it right now, right?
I'll just pull it up while we're talking.
Yeah.
By the way, I did send you the no echo version of our past show.
Oh, you
got a record of it right here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I never received it.
Well, that's your problem.
I don't know.
March 21st, 10:57 a.m. By the way,
I'm going to need some digital forensics done here.
By the way, how good have the waves been where you're at? this through this weekend.
Not like as good as up here.
Oh, dude, it's been pumping.
Yeah, I know. South Swell's been firing up in Orange County. It was good. No, it was really good. I mean, we got some good waves, but I look at the Lowers cam and I go, oh my God.
It's on.
Yeah.
Lowers is on. The Wedge broke, like, first swell of the season, really. And it was actually bigger than I expected. But like up where I'm at, Huntington, Newport, it was just like head high, peaky, 3 or 4 days straight, super fun. For some reason, not that crowded.
Well, I was just going to comment on that because that's what my take on it is too, is that there wasn't any hype about first south swell of the season.
No.
Now, why is that? Obviously, because we've had such an incredible run of El Nino surf. We are all surfed out. And the surf forecast, there's no reason to hype a what we would call a 4 to 5 foot south swell when, and I know it was bigger than that at certain places, but you know, there wasn't just a lot of hype because we've all been in such good surf lately that it's like, yeah, okay. And you would think first south swell of the season would get a little bit of push, but
totally.
Not a lot there.
Yeah. It wasn't an all time swell by any means, but in terms of what you and I want just for, you know, getting surfing in
Saturday, especially good as
it
could, right?
Like, it was so fun, dude. I had a blast.
So yeah,
I'm psyched.
Yeah, I'm psyched too.
I'm psyched. So you want to hear some Anderson Paak right now?
Yeah.
A bird with a word came to me, the sweetness of a honeycomb tree. And now I look what's taking over me, couldn't fake it if I wanted to. I had to wake up just to make it through. I got my patience and I'm making do. I learned my lessons from the ancient roots. I chose to follow what the greatest do. A bird with a word came to me, the sweetness of a honeycomb.
Jazzy.
Yeah, look at David's rocking out. He's got a little move. He's got a little swag on.
What's not to love? Look at
I'm a big fan. He reminds me a little bit of, oh yeah, there's guys surfing on the album cover or the CD
looks
cover.
Looks like Buttons, right?
Yeah, it does.
So we're a big fan.
Anderson Paak. I'm a new fan. When I first heard it, it sort of reminded me of a little bit of G Love.
Yeah. I get a little bit of that.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, yeah,
I want to get some. I'm into it. I need some new music. I'm get me involved with that.
Yeah, I will for sure.
Well, you'll notice since we're heading into the springtime, the annual Big Wave Awards, that there's no mention of Double XL. I'm not sure if we talked about this last year.
No.
But usually it's the Double XL Big Wave Awards presented by Billabong, right?
Sure.
But I'm not sure if it was that way last year or not, but I know that this year it was brought to my attention by somebody that it's certainly, there's no Double XL anymore. It's just called the WSL Big Wave Awards. Now, I learned that XXL, Double XL, is actually owned by Surfline, has been for a while, and was licensed to Billabong when they ran the Billabong Double XL Awards. And, of course, Billabong had some financial hard times, and Surfline basically shopped the Double XL brand over to the WSL.
Hmm.
The WSL and Surfline obviously couldn't make a deal, and the WSL instead hired Bill Sharp, who's sort of the mastermind behind the whole Big Wave Awards thing.
And
sure. That starts with the K2 Big Wave Awards, which Bill Sharp produced way back, I want to say in like 99 or something like that. And that was the very first year of the K2 Big Wave Awards. Taylor Knox won it on a wave at Todos Santos. But Bill's sort of the man behind that whole concept. Again, WSL hired Bill Sharp. And now we have the WSL Big Wave Awards. And those are coming up. And no XXL involved. And I, as you may know, am one of the guys that gets to vote on the WSL Big Wave Awards. And so I made my picks. You can go on to WSL Big Wave Awards on their website.
WorldSurfLeague.com.
Thank you.
Yep.
And you can see all the nominees. There's 5 nominees for the Ride of the Year. By the way, it's called the Billabong Ride of the Year. So Billabong is involved there, right?
Yeah. 2 of which are Shane Dorian.
Right. And 1 of which is my pick.
Sure.
The second ride of Shane Dorian's, the incredible tube ride that he gets.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Is my pick as the number one. Now, there's a couple of other really great ones, notably Albie Layer's tube ride as well, but a smaller wave, more as you mentioned, that sort of that, is it the West Peak at at Jaws at Piahi, where Albie sits on that inside corner and gets a deep, deep, deep one. So I took into account that Shane's was sort of farther outside and a little ballsier.
Yep.
And my vote was for Shane, and I sent in my ballot.
Albie's is deeper, probably.
Yeah, it is. It's a little deeper. You're right. It's more, but it's kind of got a more of a backdoor tube, backdoor pipeline kind of vibe.
Totally. Yeah, you got to give it to Shane just for being on the peak.
Kind of. That was my thought.
Jeez Louise.
But Shane's is pretty insane, too.
Shane's is so gnarly. Shane's is the gnarliest ever, except that Albie got one deeper one this season. But like that, otherwise, Shane's is undeniable.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's mention Shane's first entry as well, which is a free fall drop.
Which is that first wave before the event started that day when they had the big wave event at Piahi.
Yeah.
And it was sort of the wave. Mark Matthews wiped out, and then Shane got this wave, and it was sort of the wave where everyone went, okay, we knew it was on, but now it's on. You know?
Game on.
Yeah.
This would be a good time to mention, I got an email from a listener correcting pronunciation on that surf spot, saying it's actually pronounced Pay-ahi.
Pay-ahi. Yeah, that makes sense. Sure. I apologize.
I mean, who knew? We've heard.
I can't even pronounce my own name, let alone yours.
We've heard, you know, the professional broadcasters referring to it as Pay-ahi. So I think we're just going off of what we've heard, but Pay-ahi. And who knows? Maybe our listeners incorrect too, and now we're just perpetuating.
Well, frankly, you know, for years we called it Jaws, right? And then there was this sort of. And I felt it too. There was almost this like Hawaiian shame that, hey man, there's a Hawaiian name for this thing and we're going to call it that from now on. And even guys like Dave Kalama and Laird and those guys were like, and like Derek Dorner were like, okay, it's not called Jaws anymore, you guys. It's called Pay-ahi or Pay-ahi.
Yeah.
And so I'm down with that.
Totally. You know?
And so I've been trying to do the right thing. For sure I've mispronounced it.
Our objective is always to do the right thing. It's just we're ill-informed.
Or we're just no good at pronunciation.
Yeah. You know, and I actually commented back to this guy. I was like, totally, you're right, noted, we'll correct it. But I remember hearing Sonny Garcia at the Surfer Pole Awards this year referring to it as Pee-hi, which I'm just like, there's no way it's Pee-hi. Like, I mean, Sonny is the most authentic Hawaiian. Maybe he knows way more than everybody else. However, there's no way it's called Pee-hi.
Well, look, the Hawaiian language is an interesting one. All the vowels are pronounced. If you say the words right, every single vowel, there's no silent vowel. So it's Pe-e-ahi, you know, like... Every single one. Like if you look at, for instance, Barry Kanaiapuni's name, a lot of vowels in that name. A lot of vowels you probably wouldn't even know were in that name.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one where you sound out. And there's only 13 letters in the Hawaiian alphabet.
Yep. All right, back to.
Okay, so Shane Dorian's second ride was my vote. This all takes place, by the way, the Big Wave Awards. I think it's April 26th.
Okay.
Here in Orange County, I believe. Maybe it's up in Santa Monica this year. I don't know. Usually they have it at the Grove here in Anaheim. So you're going to like this. So the next thing I get to vote on is the Pure Scott Barrel Award nominee photos. You're allowed to select one image, right? What? I don't know who Pure Scott is. It must be one of the – it's a sponsor. Pure Scott.
Okay.
Google it. I don't know. It's Pure Scott with one T.
Okay.
Barrel Award nominee. There's a bunch of photos of people in the barrel, and you got to choose only one. You don't even rank them. You just pick one. I picked Keala Kennelly's wave at Chopu. Yeah, see, I knew. I get eyebrows raised from you.
Major eyebrow raised, you're like, what? Dude. Not because I'm anti-Keala. I'm shocked that you would pick a female.
But you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be.
Can we roll the tape? Let's listen to past shows, dude.
No. What do you mean? What did I say in past shows that made me anti-female? Exactly.
Oh, God. Just go ahead with your thought. No. I'm not here to...
What I'm saying is Keala's wave is obviously the most photogenic... Like, if you even look at the description on how you're supposed to vote, it says, which one image you feel best depicts the emotional feeling of a big wave tube experience.
Okay.
You could put anybody in that situation. I mean, the wave itself is what makes you go, holy crap. It's not that it's a female or a male or the gender even matters.
Right.
See, that's not...
I agree.
Like, my overall thing is like gender shouldn't matter. If the surfing's not good surfing, why does it matter if it's a male or a female? It's just not good surfing. Why are we saying, hey, yeah, but they're girls. We got to... You know what?
Yeah, you shouldn't differentiate.
So that's why when you look at me and you go, oh, I've heard you talk down about girl surfing. I'm just talking down about, hey, that's not the best surfing on the planet. Why are we lifting it up?
Yeah. Well said, man. I agree with you completely.
Tim McKenna took the photo, by the way. McKenna took the photo of Keala, who is, by the way, she's incredible, and she should probably win one of the female performance awards.
Mm-hmm. Pure Scott is a blended Scotch whiskey.
Wow, they're doing anything they can. I like it. So the next one is the Wipeout of the Year award. This one's probably the funnest one to vote on. And if you look at them, there's a great clip that shows all five of them in a row on the site. I chose Niccolo Porcella at Chopu, where he just gets this the most like you couldn't choreograph a greater wipeout than this. And the other wipeouts, by the way, are really, really good. This was actually kind of hard until you see this Porcella guy's wave.
Yeah.
And he literally is launched headfirst with the lip at like 30 miles an hour. I don't know how he lived. Did he live?
He lived. He won the award at the Surfer Pole Awards as well for the same category.
It's incredible.
And he got on stage and talked. He was really funny, I remember. I liked him. But yeah, it is. It's silly. It's cartoonish, actually.
Yeah, it's cartoonish.
I'm looking at the barrel photos as well, and I agree with you. Keala's is hands down the gnarliest. Let me ask you real quickly, not to take away from the wipeout segment.
Well, that's kind of it as far as that's what I got. I only get to vote on those three things, and I just wanted to let you know.
They've really synthesized it.
Well, you're allowed to. The other ones, like the largest wave, they have a select committee of guys that does that, you know.
And they're like actually measuring it somehow.
Yeah, they're actually in there. It's like Bill Sharp and some surf photographers, probably Rob Brown, probably Parsons is involved, you know, some of those guys. And they all kind of hooey up on exactly measuring it. Probably Evan Slater in the past has been involved in it. Mm-hmm. I know Flippy Hoffman used to be involved in it. So they get a group of guys that does that. And then the other ones are the performance awards. And just as with the largest wave, they also have a committee who kind of filter through all of it and give their best opinion on who should win the overall performance awards.
I see. So the biggest wave award nominees, two of them were from Peahi on February 25th, so the same exact day. And then three of them are from Nazare on three different days, three different swells. So,
well, the one paddle that Aaron Gold got is, it's funny because now you start, this is when you get into this sort of hemispheric, or maybe not hemispheric's right word, but you get into this regional political rift.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is where you get Europe going, hey, how do you pronounce it? Nazare?
Nazare? I mean, probably not, but that's what I'm going
Nazare.
With.
Nazare. So, you know, you get, and I'm not saying that this is correct, but you get voices that are saying, hey, that's not really a top to bottom wave.
Right. Or, exactly.
And then you get, you know, so, and then you look at Jaws and you're like, that wave is insane. It's the gnarliest wave in the world.
Well, yeah. Nazare, it's bigger, but it's flatter. It's fatter.
Yeah. And so the wave rolls for a while. So at its peak, most top crest, from point A, top crest to the bottom of the wave, is it large? And if it is, but is that where the surfer's on the wave?
Exactly.
And the surfer needs to, where the surfer's on the wave, it's this flat, shouldery thing. And yeah, behind him, it's 120 feet.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are the political discussions and some of the tight wire.
Yep.
That you have to walk, the gray area that these guys walk. And I don't think there's a whole lot of Europeans that have a say in the committee.
Right.
And so I think that there's, I know in the past there's been a sense that Europe sort of gets marginalized.
Sure. I could see that. Question about the Pure Scott Barrel Award nominees.
Yes.
It's done by photo, as right. you said. Why? Like if we're gonna judge a barrel ride, don't we want to see a guy making a takeoff, how deep he's getting, and if he's making it or not, or a woman in this case with Keala?
I think one of the reasons why is that they're concerned that this is going to get mixed up with Ride of the Year, and so because if you get a huge biggest wave barrel, like how can that not be the Ride of the Year? Now, I'm assuming a lot here, but what I do know is that they've distilled it down to this one description. And that description is which barrel makes you feel best depicts the emotional feeling of a big wave tube experience. Select the one image you feel best depicts the emotional feeling of a big wave tube experience. So I think part of it is like, look, we're only going to pay the photographer. We don't want to, first of all, it's a lot to filter through 15 different video versions of the same ride. Let's just do still images. Then we'll be able to lift up the photographers. I think in some sort of way, the photographers are like, hey man, throw us a bone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this thing's turned into a video thing. And it started out as a photographic deal.
Yeah.
You know, K2 was all photos.
Everything you said makes sense, but I don't think that they need to really do that. I mean, like, you can have a barrel photograph category still.
That's what this is.
And honor this. Well, then you could also have a barrel category where the exact description that you read still use that same exact description, but it applies to video instead of photo. Yeah. You know, like, which of these images best depicts the feeling of a big wave barrel? That applies to video as well. So
I also think that it's really hard if you look, and you're looking at them right now, right?
Yeah.
It's really hard not to be drawn emotionally to the Chopu images. And when you see the other images, they just simply don't compare. That place is so photogenic. As far as large, massive, open, gaping, beautiful blue paradise, it's just doesn't compare. Now, there's some really incredible photos of other spots, but when push comes to shove, it's just not even close, in my opinion.
The Mark Matthews image at the right in Australia is really interesting just because the wave is so gnarly. It's not nearly as perfect as Jaws and Chopu, but it has like a sunset in the background. There's a tremendous variety in color in the image, whereas Chopu, it's just more kind of that.
That's
blue.
Interesting. So, because there is some artistic aesthetic kind of concepts that you're bringing up.
Yeah.
That I brought up too. Like, there's why I'm drawn to, emotionally, I'm drawn to that blue coloring, you know?
Yeah. But in the Mark Matthews shot, there's a lot of foreground and background that's all tremendous contrast, you know? Like, there's just a lot.
So, composition wise, the photo maybe has a lot more.
Yeah. But the wave doesn't represent the feel that the criteria is.
Well, another interesting thing is they want me to choose something that I think best depicts the emotional feeling of a big wave tube experience, which assumes that I have that. You know what I mean?
If by big, you mean head high at Swami's?
You mean suck outs at Cardiff? Like, you know, like, I think, you know, but whatever.
Yeah.
I've been in some big tubes, but I am not a big wave surfer.
It's very different than Chopu big tubes.
Exactly. You know?
Or even a small wave at Chopes. Okay. Interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
Big wave awards.
Speaking of Tahiti, I heard another rumor. I've got some really good parking lot fodder for
this
show.
Can I just say, when Scott comes prepared, Scott comes prepared. This is the most prepared you've been for a show.
I've only done one segment.
But look at you, dude. He's got notes printed out. By the way, they're color coordinated. You just get color ink for your printer this week or something. Dude,
once a year, I splurge and I get color ink for my printer.
I'm acknowledging. I'm very impressed, and I appreciate your efforts.
All right. Well, another interesting rumor I heard that there's a group in Tahiti. Don't read my notes.
I'm not peeking over at them. I'm not.
Stop. Okay, just
checking the levels on the audio. Make sure there's no echo.
Oh, God. No echo, please. Local names from Tahiti that we all know, that we're all familiar with. I'm not going to name the names, but just use your imagination.
Yeah, I know five people from Tahiti, so.
Okay, but I mean that are in the surf
exactly.
You know, world.
Those are the five.
Okay, so the local names, all five of them that you know, that you're familiar with, are organizing a surf contest at Chopu. It's slated for June. It's going to be a two-week holding period. These movers and shakers in the Tahiti surf world have government backing from Tahiti. So this event is going to happen, and they are now looking for sponsors. So in a way, they're going, you know what? We're going to do, you know, we're seeing too much of a good thing go in hands that we don't want it to go in. Perhaps. I'm just assuming that that's what they're thinking.
Okay.
Now, there are many specialists out there that are not under the WSL umbrella that could surf in an event at Chopu, and it would make a big splash.
Right. Let's clarify it to our listeners that WSL surfers can't compete in non-WSL sanctioned events.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Unless they get some sort of waiver or approval.
Right.
But all it takes, right, is a solid 8 to 10 foot clean swell for this event to make headlines around the surf world, at least in our sphere, right?
Yeah.
And much like, you know, Keala at Chopu, the wave is sort of the protagonist here, is the main focal point. And so if it's 8 to 10 feet, guys are charging. We don't care who they are. It's going to be insane, right?
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, that's how Chopu became a WCT event. For a couple of years, it was a QS event. And then there was one year, I want to say it was 96 or 97, maybe 98, somewhere in the late 90s, there was a QS event at Chopu, and it was 8 to 12 feet, and it was gnarly. And it like an 8 to 12 foot swell at Chopu, it brought the attention of everybody. It got the attention of everybody, right? And so it was just too gnarly of a situation to just be a qualifying event. The ASP went, you know what? This is now a World Tour, Dream Tour event. And it made headlines. And So there are lots of North Shore Chargers, for instance, that could be in this event in June, right? Like Koa Rothman types I have here. Kayla Kennelly, quite frankly.
Totally.
A lot of Australian Chargers, probably more Australian Chargers and Hawaiian Chargers than anywhere else, right? Maybe some Brazilians too. Ricardo Dos Santos comes to mind. He's no longer with us, of course, but there's guys like that.
Bruno.
Right? Bruno Santos. Yeah. So Anthony Walsh, Kobe Aberton, Hippo. I know some of these guys are hurt, but there's a lot of guys that would that could step up and make this an insane event.
Oh, yeah. Jamie.
It certainly wouldn't lack – Jamie O'Brien, great example. Wouldn't be for a lack of talent. Now, all of the Tahitians would obviously surf in it. Even the name guys who surf as wild cards in the WSL trials and main event now would surf in it.
Oh, yeah.
And the WSL, it would be a sticky situation for them. They just can't fly into Tahiti and go, oh, by the way, these guys aren't allowed to surf in the WSL's event.
Definitely.
That's just not the way it works in Tahiti. Like, you'd be blowing it. And I'm sure that the WSL would grant waivers to those guys. The important thing here is that they've got government backing, which means they're going to run this event this year with or without a sponsor. And it's just a matter of somebody stepping up and going, wait a minute. You mean I can own an event or license an event like we used to do and kind of grab a hold of all the imagery and be the guy? And you don't have to be under the WSL's umbrella here.
Yeah.
So it certainly is an enticing opportunity for any number of companies to come in and go, bingo, boom, done, you know?
Yeah.
Even, dare I say it, Red Bull, we know doesn't necessarily get along with the people at the WSL.
Okay, this is an opinion section. Question.
The whole show is an opinion section.
True.
These are all my opinions.
Would there be any political concern for a company that already sponsors WSL events to additionally sponsor this event?
I don't think so. Unless there's some sort of exclusivity clause in the deals they make with the WSL, where once you sign on with us, you can't do any other pro surfing events, which I doubt that greatly. No one's going to sign that.
I don't think there would be, but there might just be kind of a handshake deal where it's just like, dude, come on.
Yeah, it would definitely be ruining a relationship for sure.
You're diminishing the value of one of our key events throughout
the
year.
Yeah, in many ways, you'd be shooting your own self in the foot, you know?
Yeah. I'll be honest, as a fan and just a viewer, I'm equally as excited to watch that event as I am the WSL's version.
Well, it's all about the waves, right? I mean,
assuming both events run in great waves,
yeah,
I'm equally excited just because the list of guys that you named who would be surfing in the event are every bit as exciting to me as watching Gabriel Medina and John Florence battle it out.
Yeah.
You know?
You're right. Now, the other question is if it's 3 to 4 feet with five waves of 5 feet, and you know you've got the top surfers in the world on one side of the equation and, for lack of a better phrase, B-level pros on the other side of the equation. And that's not really fair to those guys because there's guys in Tahiti that are just insane.
They're not B-level pros. Maybe in terms of...
They're just not WSL top 34 surfers.
Exactly.
I guess.
And maybe in terms of even like awareness about them, but in terms of ability level...
That's right
A-list.
There.
A-list, yeah.
At least at Chopu, not certainly. A-list at a Brazilian beach break or whatever.
Of course, sure.
So it'll be interesting to see if that rumor pans out. Very also, from another really well-placed source, I heard another rumor that the power brokers at the WSL, what's the name, Ziff or something? Ziff and his brother and his wife. Anyway, I've now heard that that fund that's funding the WSL is now 100 million deep into the WSL.
Wow.
Now, again, not a fact, pure speculation from parking lot fodder, but from a pretty well-placed source who's a finance guy.
Wow.
Look, you and I, again, it's pure speculation. We hope the WSL does not go away. I think the WSL's made great strides.
Every time they run an event, it's better and better and better. And each year is better than the previous.
Agreed. It hasn't taken any steps backward. It's taken many steps forward.
And they seem to be taking a lot of cues from feedback that the internet gives them.
I would agree with that. I think pro surfing is in a really good place.
Totally.
But fiscally, you know.
Well, $100 million investment
Yeah, we don't know what that means from a net revenue standpoint.
Yeah, we don't know what that says about fiscal health.
What exactly does 100 million deep mean?
Or maybe they...
That could just be capital expenditures that you have to make. I mean, obviously, not 100 million in capital expenditures, but...
But maybe they planned
on... Amortized over 10 years, whatever, you know?
And maybe they planned on investing 200 mil. And this is on track with what their investment was.
And a lot, big chunk of it could be that side production unit of the WSL. So, anyway... they are trying to make the product as exciting as possible, and I think they're doing that. They're moving forward.
When you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role, and there's no faster or effective way than through LinkedIn Jobs. Your time and capital are precious, and there is a powerful resource that can help you focus on what you're good at and integrate people into your team seamlessly to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs has created the tools to find the right professionals for your team efficiently and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. Everyone is already on LinkedIn with their resumes and references, and now LinkedIn has designed a hiring platform to connect you with candidates specifically qualified for the job that you post about. More than a billion professionals meticulously organized to connect people by skill set to help us all advance our position. 2.5 million businesses already use LinkedIn for hiring, and 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. It's that fast, easy to use, and effective. LinkedIn Jobs can help you write job descriptions, filter the right person to you, and give you the tools to help you interview them like a pro. LinkedInJobs.com/surf is where you go to post your job for free. Yes, totally free. That's linkedinjobs.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I will say this. You know that I'm the old guy in this equation. You're the young guy. I'm the old guy. I've been a fan of pro surfing since the glorious image of Reno Abalera dropping in on that monstrous 30-foot wave at Waimea Bay during the 1975 Smirnoff. That was pasted on my wall in my bedroom next to Farrah Fawcett smiling at me with like the nippage coming out of the nylon bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the image?
10 was the movie?
No.
Who is that?
Bo Derek.
Oh, Bo Derek. Shoot.
Oh, Farrah Fawcett Major?
Also, who's Reno Abalera?
Okay.
Well, I'm just kidding.
But so,
I do know the Farrah image, too.
But we'd both be foolish as commentators to not ask ourselves if, and I hope that this is not true, but if the landscape of pro surfing dramatically changes, what does it look like? What does pro surfing look like in 5 years? What does pro surfing look like in 10 years?
Mm-hmm.
And I think those are interesting questions.
Oh, yeah. They totally are. We've had to address that exact question multiple times throughout pro surfing because it happens.
Which is why I point back to the 75 Smirnoff. Like,
totally.
Look, we've seen the landscape of 40 years of surfing here, you know?
Totally.
So on that note, I have also heard from a very well-placed source that the Enthusiast Network,
mm-hmm.
the people who own Surfer Magazine and Surfing Magazine and Grind TV and a bunch of other magazines and publications and websites, a well-established group of people and brands, that they're just waiting in the wings, as well as Red Bull. If this thing, God forbid, eventually kind of washes out, the Enthusiast Network, who, by the way, recently took over the Dew Tour. You and I talked about that for NBC. They're now doing the Dew Tour. And they already do a lot of events, like the Surf Shop Challenge. Like they're prepared to do events.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're prepared on a world stage, but I think what would happen is they would simply go back to that old ASP model and license out to the brands, which they all have relationships with, and just blow it out of the water that way. So
rather than the WSL, who's been trying to kind of find their footing as a media company, becoming a media company, you're saying an already existing media company would just swoop in and kind of
like
plug and play.
Pick the low-lying fruit kind of almost, you know, because there has to be a tour. The industry demands it,
right.
We think.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's certainly, it has yet to be seen, David, whether or not this WSL model, which is this really top heavy, high production value business model, if it works, I would suggest to you that global sponsorship is extremely difficult. Even though you say, look, global sponsor, Samsung, even Samsung is regionally built. Like every region has its own taste and its own way that it will digest marketing. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that we're going to go out and sell the WSL is this global thing and Samsung's going to put an umbrella on it and it's going to speak to Brazilians and Australians and Hawaiians and North Americans and Europeans. And
yeah,
I think that they're coming to realize that it's actually regional. Even though you can sell it globally, you're going to have to change the marketing regionally at the very least.
Yeah.
Now, it could be that this is where Kelly Slater's wave pool saves the day, right? Because top-heavy, high production value can work if we can get gate revenue and if we can get a scheduled time for the TV show to happen.
Yep.
And I think that's the key is, will the WSL invest in two or three of those venues?
Mm-hmm.
One in Australia, one in North America, one in Europe, and maybe two others.
Yeah.
Where there's a high population base.
Yeah.
Turn those things on, and will you and I watch them?
Such a slippery slope. It's getting so far from Mother Nature and the spectacle that we love about surfing. Well, the spontaneity, the rawness, all of that.
Well, first of all, I do know that Kelly's wave pool can be changed so that the bottom contours tweak and the wave isn't as predictable. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't change it every ride. I don't think maybe that would be cool if you could dial it up every ride so you change it a little bit every ride as opposed to we got to shut it down, we got to drain it, we got to change the bottom. And now for today's event, it's going to be set up for aerials or whatever, right. So I don't know the dynamics of that. Maybe we'll learn more about that.
Yeah.
That would certainly be interesting, but nonetheless, you're right. The hardcore coastal dwelling surf enthusiasts such as yourself and all the guys that watch pro surfing now would probably be like, I don't know how much we would convert. But they're going to get 12 to 15 year olds that's all they know. And by the way, that's the demographic they want anyway, much like the Do Tour. All the people that they're going to sell marketing and advertising to that are going to market to those 12 to 15 year olds are going to be like, hey, this pro surfing thing is the coolest ever. Now they have it at Kelly Slater's wave pool. Look how perfect the waves are. This is really cool. And, oh, by the way, David, if it was me, Scott Bass, and I was 12 to 18 years old, I'd probably be super stoked on it.
Totally. Therein lies the exact crux of surfing and marketing surfing that we've dealt with all along. And surf brands, like clothing brands, deal with this more than anybody, which is just, how do you continue to cater to the core community and remain core, yet market and profit off of the broad market?
Well, I think more than ever, you'll have two divergent marketing plans. Exactly. You'll have Rasta over here and you'll have your pro kid over here and you'll have two guys and they will drive your brand.
Yeah. But the more that you have that pro guy, the more kind of offended you and I, the core surfers, are. But I'm not saying,
I don't
think
we're offended. I think the 30-year-old...
But that's
the
what's happened in
old,
the past.
How offended are you? Really, you don't give a shit. You and I don't care that much. Your buying habits aren't based on whether...
Are you buying Quicksilver clothing? Are you buying Billabong clothing?
No. But I mean, I'm not. But it's not... It's more because of the cost. Like, I will... Like, if I like something, I'll buy it. Yeah. Like, I'm not going and going, I'm not going to buy it because they have ruined the surf culture I don't care that much. Like, I'll buy IZOD, I'll buy TaylorMade, I'll buy United Colors of Benetton, I'll buy Quicksilver, whatever fits and looks good, which is why I'm looking so good right now.
You do look like a golfer right now.
These are the coolest pants ever.
I saw when you walked up, by the way, Scott is stylish.
I got these new Patagonia pants. I'm a big fan of Patagonia, by the way. Are they the biggest surf company in the world right now? And they were started by non-surfers. That says a lot. Although I know
Yvon
Chouinard surfs, but I mean, it's a climbing company. It started as a climbing company, an alpine company. But I would argue that Patagonia is the greatest surf brand in the world right now.
Well, you said biggest, Hurley. But it's not the biggest.
Well, you'd be surprised how big it is. Patagonia is pretty big.
I agree, it's big.
I don't think we know because it's private, but it's bigger than you realize.
Yeah.
I was blown away when, I don't know if you and I talked about this.
You're talking about not spending money on Billabong. Patagonia is like three times the price of Billabong clothing.
Well, I'm on a I got a little.
Back to my original point. They've alienated.
It's about price.
No, but they've alienated the core. Like Billabong, yeah, you don't care about Billabong anymore because it's available in Nordstrom and Macy's and everywhere across the country. They're not catering to you. The reason why you're buying Patagonia is because they're a core company and you value that.
That's true. That's what it is. I think you're right. I would agree with that, but I also get a good deal. Let's just cut to the chase. I do get a good deal.
Okay.
But
the best Patagonia deal is still more than Billabong, dude.
Your good Patagonia deal must not be as good as my Patagonia deal.
I need a Patagonia deal. No. I don't have a Patagonia deal. Look it up.
No, can do. That's part of the deal. You can't. I'm not even supposed to talk about it, I don't think. But anyway, I will say this. This is how I know I'm old, is that I got these great Patagonia pants, and I'm so in love with them that I bought like 10 pants. I told my wife, I go, this is my costume for the rest of my life. You know, old men get like those blue jumpers, and they zip them up, and they work in their wood shop when they retire, and that's all they wear. I've got my old man uniform. I'm excited about it.
Must feel good.
Yeah. I'm set.
Wardrobes lined up for the rest of your life?
This is the old man uniform.
Are they all that mustard yellow color, though? Did you get different colors?
Do you mean baby diaper? Yeah. No, I got different colors.
Okay, good. Because I think that color is super hip, but you can't rock it every day.
These are my Lululemons.
Right.
What were we talking about? We lost track.
The WSL.
The core enthusiast. Will Kelly Slater's Wave Pool save the WSL at the last minute? Will the WSL actually...
We're making a lot of assumptions here. I know. That there's even a last minute.
Well, in 5 years.
Yeah, no, but I know, but still.
I don't think there will. I think that they're getting it to... I hope. I don't... It's just no one knows fiscally, and of course, they're not going to tell you. You don't want... They shouldn't tell you.
No,
you know,
of course.
It's none of our business, really. Yeah. But it allows us to speculate, I guess.
Sure.
But you could certainly see the Enthusiast Network or Red Bull coming along, or another production.
No, I hear you. And that's – so I made an assumption as well and just kind of said like, oh, the WSL is there defining themselves as a media company. Like it seems to me that's what – they're not a surf contest company. That's not their objective. Their objective is to become a media company, and one of the vehicles that they're going to do that with is putting on these contests that get a lot of eyeballs.
I agree. And you could also argue that each and every year that they exist, their value grows in just the equity that they have as a brand, you know,
totally.
Like, and they've got more content and you're right. They are slowly turning into this production company, which is what Speaker knows really well anyway. Right?
Yeah, totally. And it's what Red Bull's done successfully.
Yes.
Like they're a beverage. They're a media company masquerading as a beverage company.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, well,
we just hope the best, right? For,
well, I just
for pro surfing in the
it.
WSL. I know. I'm amped on my team coming into Margaret River.
So, by the way, we've gone 43 minutes and 40 seconds without mentioning the Bells event that just finished.
I still got more stuff, but go ahead. Bells was incredible.
No,
you
we don't
take,
have to.
Take her away.
Okay. Bells. Geez. Huge event. Spectacular range in waves. I mean, diversity in waves and conditions that they got to surf. The final was Matt Wilkinson versus Jordy Smith. Matt Wilkinson won the first and second event of the season, which if you gave me the top 34 at before Gold Coast and I had to pick a ranking of who might win there's two guys that are going to win the first and second event, or there's one guy who's going to win the first two events. Pick who that guy is.
No, better.
Wilco would have been 30th on my list.
Here's what I want you to do. I want, before the thing starts.
Yes.
In February, I'm going to go, okay, I want you to tell me who's going to win the first two events and who's going to be hungover after the first two events.
Exactly.
And you would have picked Wilco to be hungover, and you would have picked Felipe to win the first two events, right?
Felipe's totally
off tour. Wilco's won the last two events.
Felipe's on
and
tour, but injured.
Tell me, did you have Wilco on your fantasy team
Snapper? Heck no.
Did you for Bells?
Heck no.
I know.
His Snapper
either.
Performance, I'm like, that was amazing, but we only get one good performance out of Wilco every year, and there it was.
So do you have,
no way
do you have the cojones to put him on your team for Margaret?
You know, I mean,
at
that's
this point,
been my dilemma.
Well, me too. I mean, I've
he
got
can't
a
three peat.
How many times have you taken him off your team and put him back on your team?
He can't three peat.
He can't three peat. It's
no
over.
Chance.
The run
especially
is over.
Especially if they go at the box.
Exactly.
Or North Point, which is at.
Well, North Point, I'm sure he can surf pretty well at, but
I don't know.
The box is. Who knows with this guy? He's such a wild card.
Okay,
I'm blown away he did this well at Bells. I immediately took him off. Was never going to put him on my team at Bells.
No, heck no. So I was talking with a friend before the event started, and we said, who's your dark horse picks? And I go, my dark horse pick is Jordy. So
that's a good
I
one.
Felt great about him actually making the final. But to be honest, by the time the final rolled around, I was rooting for Wilco. Even though my heart was with Jordy and he was on my team, Wilco, I just love. And I don't want to love him, but I love him. And part of it is spontaneity in that at some point on every wave that he stands up on, I think that he's going to fall, and he doesn't. Whereas Gabriel Medina never looks like he's going to fall. And so there's an element of that spontaneity in Wilco that just makes you hope for him, you know? And his personality, of course, does that when he's in the post-heat interview. But just his surfing alone, there's an element of
rawness. There's nothing to not love, isn't it? There's nothing to not really like about this
guy.
When he's
in the final...
He looks like he's free surfing.
It really does. In the final, when he's smashing waves, I'm just like, yes, keep going. Give me one more. Like, go for it. And that's what you want out of surfing. Like, it's that visceral experience that we all want, I find myself having with Wilco.
There's certain guys in the event at Bells that you see take off, and you know that in the back of their mind, they're like, okay, I've got to get three big turns on the outside bowl. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, then I'm going to kick out, you know? And you just don't get the sense that Wilco's got that in his brain when he's taking off in a wave. He's like, okay, I'm going to surf really hard.
And he even said it. He's like, I'm bottom turning as hard as I can. And then I look up at the lip and go, okay, what do I do now? Like, where do I hit this thing? Where do I angle it? Whereas other guys, like you said, they're looking down the line. Mick Fanning gets to his feet, looks all the way down the line, and is like, here's where I'm going to do the first turn, the second turn, the third turn, and finish the ride.
Right.
You know?
And it's a little formulaic.
Wilco's making a decision as he's coming out of the bottom turn.
Yeah.
Which is radical. It's so rad.
It's hard to not love this guy. Yeah. It's hard to not put him on your team. I'm with you. I was rooting for him. I was totally rooting for him.
Yeah.
I had Kyle on my team. Didn't he surf against each other? Kyle lost to Jordy.
I believe.
Anyway, yeah, Wilco's incredible. It's fun, but I can't put him on my team.
I know.
The party's got to be
like
over.
Just like you can't take Kelly off.
I've taken Kelly off. I've learned my lesson.
You know what's funny? They're selling WSL selling jerseys now to fans.
Yeah, I've seen
for
that.
The fan experience.
Who hasn't seen that?
But they keep saying, like, what's the number one selling jersey? Well, Fanning's a huge seller, and then the other fan favorites are John and blah blah blah. They never mention Kelly Slater.
Yeah.
I would think Kelly Slater would be the number one selling jersey.
He is. He's got
But they
be.
Haven't mentioned his name once. He's it's almost be. Like the WSL shifted their focus, like in the commercials that they're doing for those jerseys. I am Fanning. No, bro. I'm Fanning.
Well,
they
I
don't
think it's
mention
smart.
Kelly
I get
at
it.
All. No, and I agree with
I
you,
get
too.
It. I mean,
but
I'm not
let's acknowledge this shift, that's this zeitgeist
yeah, you're right.
shift is taking
shift,
place
yeah.
where Kelly is no longer the Silver Surfer, you
it
know?
It is definitely like, a part of their plan to move away, and they need to.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
It's sad because you and I are huge, you know, and you, that's why more than anything you want Slater to kind of reaffirm himself as, hey, not yet.
Which
you know?
He's done before a couple of times.
Yeah. And you know at some point this year it's going to happen.
No.
Will it be all the way at the end at Kype? You don't think at Chopu or Tavarua Slater's going to have a moment?
No, he has. I mean, he'll have a moment, yes.
No, I mean win an event.
No.
I mean.
No.
Wow.
Who can
so
beat him?
So then we I have mean, a bet can... right now. You and I have a bet. That's
Let's bet again. I love it.
Yeah, let's bet
I have
again.
A great track record against
yeah, you.
Yeah,
you do.
How's your fantasy
thanks,
team
thanks,
doing,
Kelly.
Dude?
Thanks, Kelly. I blame
fantasy,
Obama.
I blame Obama. So you're literally in last place in the fantasy. I mean, there's a couple people who actually didn't play
that
Snapper.
Are beating me.
No. A couple people who didn't play Snapper, so they're worse than you, but you're in you're tied for equal last place. That's
oh
pretty
God.
Amazing. Courtney Conlog also won at Bells, which is huge for her. I'll be honest, a lot of people talk about like Bells is just boring to watch. The wave is slow. There's only one or two sections that are actually steep and like a lot of downtime before the end section. And I felt that way in the early rounds. But to be honest, by the end of the contest, I kind of fell in love with it as a contest venue because it really challenges the surfers in ways that we don't really see anywhere else on tour. And there, like I said earlier, there's a lot of variety throughout the waiting period. We see him surf small winky. We see him surfing the last day, which is triple overhead, like wind chops coming through the face. And while it's not the most exciting surfing I'm going to see throughout the course of the year or even the course of the week because I'm going to watch web edits, it's more representative of my surfing experience. And so then when I paddle out at 20th Street in Huntington this weekend, there's a lot of slow sections in the wave, and I'm thinking about how those guys approached Bells, and that actually translates to my experience. And a lot more, I don't know, competitive tactic comes into play there as well than it does maybe at Chopu when it's 8 feet and perfect, you know?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's sort of a blue-collar venue
it
in
is.
Some ways, and it sort of represents the true Australian surfer in many ways. It's sort of a caricature of that blue-collar guy that's a Mason guy or, you know, just, you know, he's you know, got the dirty boots on, and he's going to work every day, and he's eating a meat pie, and there's bells.
That's all of us, dude.
Yeah, and so in that regard, I agree. It's sort of both. I agree with both. It's kind of a crappy venue for a contest, but it's also all those things that you said. Yeah. And you can sort of fall in love with it for its character.
When you're looking at it under the kind of lens of, I want to see the best high-performance surfing in the world, then, of course, you don't like it. But yeah. But I, like I said, going through the experience, it shifted what I found it to have value, you know, for other reasons.
I tell you, it helps to bring out a lot of the flaws. You saw some really bad surfing, you know, guys that you're like, oh, God, really? That's hideous looking or whatever. And I also thought on some of the bigger, lumpier, chunkier days, and maybe I'm just being myopic or something, but I just felt like, you know what? These guys should be riding 6.6s and really getting through the wave. And yeah, you know what? You're not going to get three turns in the middle bowl on a 6.6. But you're going to be surfing the wave, in my opinion, it's just me.
Yeah.
I think in a way that those conditions are dictating that you surf the wave. Like, and again, it's just me. These guys are on their 6.2 little chippy things, and they're barely getting through little moments. And all to do what? A little fin check turn at the top of the wave when they could be powering through big foam chunks, you know, on a 6.6. But
well, interestingly, they were talking about Mick Fanning normally rides a 5.11. And on that final day when it was triple overhead, he was on a step up, which is a 6.1. You know, it's like,
whatever.
Yeah, that's not even as, is that a step up? I don't know. Like, but I mean, it probably is, you know, it's not a 6.6 like you're talking about, which Jordy's probably riding. I think Jordy had a 6.4 and a 6.6. And Jordy's surfing looks beautiful out there. Some of the most beautiful surfing I saw was Connor Coffin.
And Carissa Moore. I'll throw that out there. I mean,
I mean, Potts was saying that's arguably the best surfing he's ever seen by a female surfer, where she got like 4.9s.
It was insane. And here's another thing, right?
Quarterfinal, because I think quarterfinal. She lost
quarter. How great were the waves for those girls on that last day? Oh, my God.
The best.
Full on barrel. I mean, there was top barrel. But here's the thing. I saw girls tube dodging. I was like, I know it's not a tube ride wave, but when it's straight offshore and just not a drop of water out of place, and you can stall and pull into the tube,
I disagree.
Why not mix it up?
No, I disagree. Because
wait a minute, back up. Is tube riding the ultimate in surfing? Yes or no? It's a yes or no question. If you can get tubed, why wouldn't you be in it?
You don't want to get a head dip, though.
No, no, I'm not talking a head dip. I'm talking like a high pocket.
I think the wave...
Granted, it's a top tube. It's not a top-to-bottom tube, but it's...
The answer to the question is yes, tube ride is the best thing in surfing, but the wave that I'm thinking of that Courtney Conlaw got in the final where I thought the exact same thing, like, oh, she could have pulled in.
Yes, you remember that wave.
Yeah.
Yes.
You just said, if you can stall and pull in... No. If you have to stall to pull in...
She didn't need to stall. Then you shouldn't have done it. Look, all...
You need to get something all that's tube riding involves that stalling drive through.
At some point, most tube riding involves stalling. No. You're either stalling because you're waiting for it at the takeoff...
Are you kidding?
Yeah,
back door, the ultimate barrel in the world, you have to pump like a mofo to get through the thing.
Granted, there's some examples... There are going to be exceptions to the rule, but my point is that you're waiting for it either at the top of the wave, waiting for the wave to hit the reef, right?
The tubes you and I get, yes.
Speak for yourself, pal. But, 20th Street, Huntington, there's no...
No, exactly. So I'm just saying, on that wave, I thought about that. And Courtney, I was like, okay, what's going to provide more score? Her stalling
that's
to get
the problem
a head dip
right
on that,
there.
And then coming out, and then having to do a cutback until... No, she had a steep section. She made a decision. I think she made the right decision to do a turn off of it.
I would agree with what you're saying, but you nailed it when you said what's going to get the greatest score rather than what's the best way to surf this wave.
Yeah.
Two different things.
Well, Mason's waves that
How
he
good
got,
was that?
That was better. That was a better example where he got proper barreled.
Yeah, and there was proper barrels during those girls' heats. A couple of waves were really good. And granted, they're not backdoor pipe, but you could have held out at the top of the wave, pulled in, gotten a good barrel, then done two moves on the outside. I don't know.
Well, I'll just answer your question differently. If I was surfing out there, I would have been hunting for that tube. Like, I would have been stalling trying to get the head dip. You know, because that feels radder to me.
Okay, well, there you go. Plus, you can't do a turn, so.
That's true as well.
So you didn't take the bait. You went self-deprecating on me.
So, by the way, one of the other highlights of this event for me was Barton Lynch doing some of the commentary.
Yeah.
I thought Barton...
He's a smart guy.
He is so smart.
Super cerebral.
He's so passionate. He is so insightful.
He really is.
He is so able to articulate little nuance and feelings that I have while I'm watching that I didn't even articulate in my own brain.
For sure.
But as soon as he says them, I'm like, you're absolutely right. That was that little paddle separation that happened right now when they, like, I didn't even think about it, but you're right.
He's so far and away the guy they need to bring in. It's ridiculous.
And his passion level is second to none.
It's I don't think they can afford him.
He loves surfing.
He's so good.
Well, I just thought,
but would you get sick of hearing him over?
No, never. Okay. Like, I'll let him sing me lullabies while I go to sleep.
That's lullabies from Barton.
Read me a story.
We might have to have a segment for the show called Lullabies from Barton.
I agree.
And we'll have him like mail us in little MP3s of him singing to you.
Tuck me in.
Oh my God. Oh BL. My God. I can see him just bring you warm milk.
Exactly.
Some little cookies.
Tuck me in, Barton. Tuck time with BL.
Is he
going to
brush your teeth for you? Tuck time with BL.
Hashtag tuck time with BL.
That's scary.
We love you.
Oh, my God. that is so really creepy right there.
Bells, by the way, we did have our fantasy team, which, dude, I noticed Joe Turpel is, I think, ranked 8th in our clubhouse.
Joe.
I can't verify if that's the real Joe Turpel.
I'm sure it is.
But, man, that... He's killing it.
He's
in
eighth?
Our clubhouse. 8th.
What does he know that we don't know? Oh, he works with them.
Well, yeah, I think that's insider trading is what's
happening. I do too. He's not
called.
Betting, is he? He's not allowed to
He's
bet.
Not. He's not betting, which neither are you, which is.
Oh, I'm not.
You've done well by not betting in this year.
I'm going to start. I did this on purpose. I'm about to.
Good
pressure's going to come.
Well done.
I've already picked my team. By the way, they start tomorrow or today?
No.
Yeah, Margaret's? It starts April 3rd.
No, April 8th. 3 days.
So that's the 8th of April.
2 days, 22 hours, and 41 minutes.
Okay, so almost 3 days.
So, by the way, I'll just give you a rundown of the Fantasy Clubhouse. For anybody who wants to play in our Fantasy League, it's fantasysurfer.com. And just go to the clubhouse, search Surf Splendor. It's free to join. You set your team. And then if you want to wager, you can also do that. We had about 19, I think we had specifically 19 people wager in the men's division. 7 or 8 in the women's division. The top winner in the Bells event was Robbie Jones, 89, with 10,050 points. There was 4 surfers who scored over 1,000 points. Did I say 10,000? I meant 1,050 points. There was 4 surfers who scored over 1,000 points. So some big scoring going on in this event. And the winner takes all in the wager thing. So everybody wagers $10, winner takes all, and you do that via PayPal. When you send your payment, by the way, include your fantasy handle. Even if you've played every single event through the last couple of years that we've been doing this, I still need you to include your fantasy handle because I can't remember 20 people's names and I have to go back and search for it in previous emails. It's a bit of a hassle. So all the instructions for how to do that are on surfsplendorpodcast.com. There's a fantasy tab. Click on that and it explains how to wager and send it via PayPal.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Speaking of fantasy surfer ripoffs,
yep,
John Florence versus
Kyle about
Kaya. Did you catch? You can go on Heat Analyzer right now and listen to Martin Potter. And Martin Potter says something that just blew me away. I'm sure you saw it. I think I might have sent it to you. I did a post on my site about it. Martin Potter basically says, and I'm paraphrasing, but he basically says, the judges know that John's in the water now. They expect more out of John, so they're going to score him lower. And I think he's right. I'm not here to bash Martin Potter.
No,
this is a bash on what we all know. And this is, you've mentioned this about Felipe for years.
It's not even a bash on the judges. It's a bash on our viewing of surfing. We all do this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And he did, and it slipped out. It was like something that I think he might have gotten admonished for later.
Yeah.
Because it truly is a problem, the subjectivity of the judging. Because
explain the problem.
Well, why don't you? Because you seem to have
when John gets in the water, we know what he's capable of, and we hold him to that standard.
Thank you.
So if he doesn't style out and do the raddest carves we've ever seen and stomp a giant alley-oop,
it's not good.
Then
John
we're not going to score him in the excellent range. Whereas Kaio, Who knows who this guy is? So if he lands a couple critical off the tops and then does an air, that's a 10-point ride, because who is this guy? He just blew my mind.
Yeah.
So we're holding John to a different standard than Kaio. And same thing goes with Felipe.
Like, yes, it does.
So Felipe better do the most mind-boggling air reverse, full rotation, not even air reverse, the full row. Otherwise, we're not going to give him the score that he did. You know, so whereas...
And Mick Fanning will do a little credit card air or bigger than that. Or Joel Parco, an older guy, will do a little bit of an air, just something. And they're like, wow, he actually did one.
Let's 8-point ride.
Yeah.
Bang. 8-point ride. John does that air, 5-point ride.
Yeah, and so, wasn't it Miola or Albie Layer was saying that,
yes, Albie,
that there needs to be a discussion amongst the judges about airs, but this is a bigger topic, which is holding them to the standard of their free surfing, what we all know is their best surfing. And I don't know, man.
So basically what ultimately happens, as defined by the WSL, is the two best rides get scored against each other from a surfer in a given heat. And you made the argument off the show, but in your blog post, that if you just go back and watch Kaio's two rides versus John's two rides, John surfed better.
Yes.
And Kaio ended up winning the heat.
And everyone felt that way.
Right.
And there was that Brazo claim at the end that really made people pissed off.
Right.
And I don't know, man. And I had Kaio on my team. I also had John, but
it was that really unjust.
That wasn't unjust just me judging. That was irked. I would suggest to you the whole fan base was irked about that, unless you were Brazilian.
Yeah. Kaio got bigger waves or whatever, but John surfed radically more critically, more to the judging criteria, but just got underscored.
Kaio and Connor are pretty incredible. The rookie class is pretty incredible. I mentioned Ryan Callanan at the Snapper event. I thought he surfed great. And then Davey Cathals did okay in this event early in a couple rounds.
Oh, he did fantastic. Yeah. He made it to the final day.
Right.
He lost against Mick Fanning, which, no big deal. Everybody, yeah. I mean, Mick's the man at Bells.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought Connor, I think, is, geez, I don't know what he's ranked. I'd have to look it up.
Probably third.
He came into
this second.
He came into this event second. I think Jordy walks out as second.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, Connor sets the standard for power surfing with style, essentially. I mean, Joel had that standard for a million years, or the last 10 years, let's say. But Connor really kind of is taking that away from him and beat him and Mick in the round four heat, definitively. Like, he smashed those guys.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge fan of Connor, and I want to see what's to come. I've never really seen him surf big backside barrels before, so remains to be seen.
That'll be interesting. That's actually a very good call. What's he going to do in that situation? It's something that we've brought up in the past with guys like well, even Goofy Foots and big left barrels that we weren't sure about.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. What else you got? You said you had other topics other than Bells.
I've just got my Kook and Duke, actually, as I look here.
Okay.
Oh, no, I do. Yeah. Well, so my Kook, you ready for my Kook?
Sure.
My Kook is former Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott, who paddled out at Noosa, was sitting there waiting for a wave, was on the outside on the shoulder. There was this other surfer there, a girl, Ivy Thomas, 17, who a wave came. The Prime Minister proceeded to cut her off, and there's a brilliant picture of this girl standing there getting cut off by the Prime Minister, and the look on her face is one for the ages, where she's just dumbfounded. She's just so disgusted with this old guy on a longboard just kooking out in front
burning
of her. The Prime Minister, Tony Abbott. And she knew who he was. She said, she was like, yeah, he's just sitting there. I knew who he was. Anyway, Tony Abbott's my Kook.
That's hilarious, dude. By the way, I got a must-see moment as well. Do you have a must-see moment? There's a bunch of things that we should be watching and directing people to on the internet this week. I'm going to run off a few things. Kai Barger's edit, it's called No Wonder, is spectacular, and kind of an undervalued surfer. He had to deal with a lot of energy, but this edit is just unbelievable. He's surfing big waves, doing flips. It's crazy. Soli Bailey's Instagram with him riding a wave with a dolphin. Did you see this? Soli Bailey
gets
barreled on a left in Australia, comes out, and when he's coming out of the barrel, this dolphin breaches in the wave right 1 foot from his rail. So that's really
have you ever had that experience?
No. Have you?
I have.
Really?
Yeah, just this year, this winter at Cardiff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't come out of a backside barrel, but I was riding the wave, and
the dolphin breached.
Dolphins
on the wave.
Numerous times.
crazy.
On the same wave.
I mean, I see yeah. dolphins every other time I go surfing, but not on the wave.
Yeah. Do you know the time I was perhaps the most scared in the water that this was like 25 years ago, and I was surfing by myself at this little Misto Reef in North County, and it was a gray, glassy winter day, but a little bit of onshore crumble, nobody around, nobody. And you know how you get that kind of spook, like, yeah. oh, this feels sharky.
Yep.
And I had that vibe going.
Once it's in your head, can't get that
yeah.
out.
And yeah. And then I start seeing fins, right? There's all these dolphins, and I'm like, oh, you know, and it still kind of spooked me out. And I'm paddling for a set. I'm paddling over some waves to go to a set, and the set ends, and I'm too far out, and I turn around, and I start paddling back in, and right in front of me, coming straight at me, four dolphins jump out of the water in unison, in synchronicity, straight at me, dive right in front of me, go under me, and I just fully freaked out, just beelined it straight into the beach, just like, oh my God, these things are either telling me something or they're trying to attack me.
Yeah.
Insane. And I just went in.
So dolphins have sonar, right? And so I've thought, like, well, if I'm duck diving, I'll see dolphins in a wave coming towards me and I have to duck dive the thing. And I'm going, well, they know I'm here, right? Like, they have sonar. They can sense that I'm here. So they're going to avoid me, right?
Yes.
They should.
Yes.
And those guys avoided you, but it got pretty close. But then I have a second thought, which is human beings have a lot of positive qualities, but there's some that are dumber than others. And there may be
Thank
a dolphin. There may be a dolphin with a low dolphin IQ whose sonar is slightly off. And all he has to do is be off by 1 foot, and that thing's going 30 miles an hour straight into my head.
You've really thought this through.
A half-wit dolphin who's going to – he's just – all of his buddy dolphins know that he's the dummy, and they're just like, well, dude, you better watch out for, you know – Chuck over here.
Chuck, you disparaged everyone named Chuck just by saying that.
Anyway.
I'm quite confident that my IQ is lower than many dolphins.
They're a smart creature, dude.
Yeah.
Well, other things in the internet that people should watch. Noah Dean's recently dropped edit. It's called yeah. Pulp. Noah yeah. Dean is shredding.
Yeah.
And I love the kid's style.
Noah Dean's a guy who could go to Chopu and be in that event. There's so many guys when you think about it.
I've not seen him. Like, he's great at doing airs. I haven't seen him really charge.
But there's just so many guys that could be in that Chopu event.
Kai Barger.
There's just a million guys. Like, how many pipe charger guys could be in that thing? A bunch.
Yeah, a bunch.
Who's the one? But there's
Kalani
a lot of
Chapman.
WSL guys. Yeah, there's exactly. There's a great example.
Billy Kemper.
Yeah.
Eli Olson.
Shit, Dorian.
John's brothers, dude. Dorian for sure.
But I guess they're WSL big wave event guys, so they might be under that umbrella.
Okay, another must-see moment.
Yeah.
Michael Brennan at Shipstern's Bluff. This was on a couple people's Instagrams. The guy makes the most miraculous recovery ever.
Like, he's going over the handlebars, but he pulls
it? No, he's driving, backdoors the barrel, like from a ski, and then the thing has those gurgles in it and steps, hits a step, like midway up the face.
Wheelies?
Airdrop. Like wheelie airdrop ollie.
Like a 15 foot
airdrop. Stop. Yeah. And you just think, okay, he's going to land and then just go over the falls.
Dead stop.
Somehow stomps it. And actually his board starts to cavitate in endo and you're like, he's definitely going down, but he somehow pulls back and pulls it and then comes out of the barrel.
Yeah. Most kind of at the end, it kind of crumbles on him.
Most miraculous recovery ever. So those are all important things. I'll post them all on surfsplendorpodcast.com. But here's my actual must see moment. Jay Davies posted Stab Magazine posted an edit of Jay Davies shredding apart onshore conditions. But the reason why this is my must-see moment is because we're going into the Margaret River event. He's not?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I picked my team. I didn't see him on the list.
But sometimes they get added in the last like 48 hours. Yeah. I haven't seen the wild card
list. You'd think he would be on
it. No, he's going to. I would bet money they're going to put him in.
I would
agree.
Because last year, he's a draw.
Last year, he made the quarterfinals as the wild card.
Yeah.
And so I'm a huge Jay Davies fan, of course. Last year, he was my dark horse, and he paid dividends. But just going into this event, watch this edit and tell me you're not going to put Jay Davies on your team. Based on his track record, based on his shredding, one commenter on this video on Stab Magazine said, quote, Jay Davies moves more water than Moses. Somebody give that guy a staff and some Israelites, end quote.
Wow.
Which he does.
You know, last time we were together, we spoke about Kolohe and Wilco. They need to do something in the next two events, meaning Bells and Margaret's, to sort of back up that great run they had at Snapper. Look where was Kolohe in this event? And if we look at our commentary as like, this has to happen, there seems to be some pressure on Kolohe that you and I are putting on him right now, that he has to do good at Margaret, or at least in Brazil, or the snapper event was like, that can't be all you've got.
Yeah.
And so to just sort of backtrack to the last show we did.
Yeah.
Again, kudos to Wilco, for now he is in the driver's seat, and Kolohe, I'm not sure where he's at mentally now. Does he feel the pressure? Or
yeah, he does. I mean, and generally, I don't think his style of surfing fits Margaret's, really. So
whose does? But the thing is, you mentioned it with the box and North Point and Margaret's. You've got three completely different types of waves, mm-hmm. and so it's really hard to pick. I was picking my team, going, well, yeah, but okay, they'll run one round at the box. They're not going to run the entire thing at the box,
right.
And then they're going to move it to Margaret's, where it'll be mushy lefts and some big closeout rights, and then there might be a day at North Point. Maybe it's hard to pick
it
a
really
team
is.
For this event.
Yeah, you want somebody who's versatile. Josh Kerr is super versatile. He's won at Margaret's in the QS level.
I've been following Josh on his Snapchat and on Instagram. I get the feeling that he's mailing it in. He's like off to Cabo with his family. He's comfortable.
Yeah. Well, by the way, Chloe Andino lost in round two against Sebastian Zietz at Bell. So not the performance that you want.
This is a hard year to pick fantasy surf.
Oh my gosh.
This is
topsy-turvy.
Don't say it's just me. There's other people.
It's mainly you.
No, that's not true.
It's mainly you.
No, there's other
ideas. I'm going to say...
I want a dolphin to pick my team.
Okay, but I got
a dumb dolphin named Chuck is going to pick me.
Okay, he'll do better than you for sure. Scott Bass is my Duke of the Week.
What?
Scott, we got to honor Scott because Sean Thompson, world champion surfer, called out Scott on Twitter. He went to social media to congratulate Scott for rescuing four human beings from a riptide. Tell me the story. This is not a joke. This is not an April Fool's joke. No. This is reality. Scott is not only blushing right now, but I do see a tear from his eye.
No, you
What's
know
the story. Look, what was Sean Thompson talking about?
There was a pretty mean rip at Cardiff. There always is. There has been for 100 years. It's a standard rip at low tide. And there were some girls on spring break, some little 8 to 10 to 12 year old girls on spring break that were caught in the rip. I simply went out there, talked them down off the cliff. You know, pushed them into some waves to get them out of the problem. And
they were past the point of being able to touch with their feet?
Oh, yeah. No, they were way out
there. They were
getting
sucked out?
Yeah, this is a mean rip, like a really strong
And
strong.
What were the waves? Were the waves
pretty
big?
Waves were big, yeah. I mean, it was, 4 to 5 feet.
Were they starting to panic?
No, there was one that was maybe on the edge. The other two were really cute. They're like, we know. It was pretty funny. I paddled
they
up.
They should have been panicking, though.
Yeah, I paddled up to them. I'm like, hey, you girls, you're in a rip, And they're like, we know. And I'm like, okay, well, follow me. What we're going to do is we're going to paddle, sideways at an angle. I'm going to get you into some water where it's safe, and then you can paddle in. They're like, yeah, we know. Or we could just take the rip all the way out until it's done with us. And then they were laughing. They're like, we know.
They're so well informed.
They were really cute. I'm like, okay, follow me. So we start paddling towards safe water where we can then paddle in. And they're out there with their surf coach or their surf instructor or some teenage girl that's there as their guide.
So they were on boards?
Yeah, they're all on boards. They're all surfers.
Okay.
And we're paddling to safety, and their surf guide girl goes, Jessica, come over here. And I'm going, oh my God, why is she calling him back into the rip? And so they're like, okay, Jessica. And they turn around for me and they paddle back into the rip. And I'm like, oh, great. So I follow him back into the rip and I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to have words with this surf instructor chick who obviously doesn't know what she's doing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be by their side and be there if they need me. And I'm like, okay, here we go. I guess we're going to paddle straight in through the worst part of the rip. Let's do this. And ready, begin. And I start kind of yelling at him. I'm like, okay, paddle hard, dig, let's go. We're going to, I'm kind of giving them grief. Like, if you're going to do this, let's do it, And they're digging and we're paddling, we're getting nowhere. And you know how rips are? Sometimes they have these little cappy little waves that break and then dissipate.
Yeah.
Well, luckily one of those came and I took the two of them.
Spring off.
That I was with, and I like pushed them into this whitewash. And they were good enough little surfer girls that they could bellyboard. And they bellyboarded this thing all the way in, 200 yards to the sand where they could touch. So then I turn around and go get the other one who's a little maybe portly and doesn't know how to surf as good and has fallen off her board and is pushing water. And the surf instructor, and I'm like, okay, here we go. We're going to do this again. And I basically did the same. Eventually got her pushed into a wave. And then I went out to talk to the surf instructor, and then I was like, you know what, China, I just left her in the rip, knowing that she was going to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
And I went in and I talked to the parents, and that's when Sean's like, Scott Bells, I saw you, brother. You know, you saved. I was like, yeah, hi.
Well, I mean, you're kind of downplaying it, but I guess if Sean Thompson recognized it as a dangerous situation, then it
They had to be rescued. Like, they were going to get rescued by me or by a lifeguard. Okay, like, they were not, you know.
Were the parents cool?
Yeah, they were stoked, and yeah, they were like, okay, you know, we started out over here. And I'm like, yeah, but right over there, you're going to get sucked into this rip, and it's, and I didn't want to, you know, sort of poo-poo the surf instructor girl. It's not really her fault. It was just kind of like, sort of her fault.
Yeah, yeah.
But whatever.
All right, well done, Scott. Duke of the week.
Duke Hanamoku's house is currently for sale. Yeah. I got an email today that says his original house, which is over there, in sort of the Portlock area, like by the golf course there on the east side of Diamond Head, his original house, he and his wife Nadine bought this house in 1940 after their marriage. And they were lent the money to buy the house by Doris Duke, who was a neighbor. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Duke's house, the original house, is up for sale. They've redone most of it. The house, it's a gorgeous mansion. All those, that area between Portlock and Diamond Head is like mansions, and it's a really nice part of town. And anyway, it's all kind of like the Rancho Santa Fe of town. Yeah. Anyway, that mansion's up for sale, Duke's house. So I mentioned that as, I guess Duke's house is my Duke Hanamoku.
Is there a price attached to it?
There wasn't a price in the email, but I'm sure it's up between, you know, $4 and $10 million, something like that.
It's a lot of range. It's a big difference.
I don't know. The real estate, I just know it's a mansion right on the water with a beautiful view. It's all been redone, so I'm sure it's between $4 and $10 million.
And history.
Yeah, history.
Right on, Scott.
BoardroomShow.com.
Definitely.
It's coming up. By the way, you can catch all the down-the-line episodes on BoardroomShow.com, as well as SurfSplendorPodcast.com.
That's where you find it.
And let's see what else is going on. There's a lot going on with the Boardroom Show. I guess you just go to the website and find out what's going on there.
Totally.
We'll talk more about that later on.
Yes, definitely. But it is coming up May 14th and 15th, so
the Delmar
sneaking Fair. Up on us, dude. 1 month away, essentially.
Yeah.
A lot of work to do in the meantime.
A lot.
Yep. This is David Lee Scales.
And Scott Bass, signing off. Until next time, adios and aloha. I'm repping for the longest cycle. My uncles had to pay the cost. My sister used to sing to Whitney. My mama caught the gambling bug. We came up in a lonely castle. My papa was behind them bars. We never had to want for nothing. Said all we ever need is love. We see the same thing.
There's that Anderson .Paak track that we referenced at the opening of the show. I'll have a link, and actually that whole album, I'll just embed it on SurfSplendorPodcast.com with everything else that we discussed in this show. The Big Wave Award nominees, all of the Webland, you know, must-see moment stuff that I kind of referenced towards the end of the show as well. You could check it all out. SurfSplendorPodcast.com. Leave a comment. Send links of this show to your friends. That helps our show to grow. And the show has grown, actually. I haven't really discussed that in a while, but man, oh man. Yeah, numbers are ever increasing. So that's really all that we ask for, is that you help the snowball gain momentum, because we don't have any advertisers or anything. And to be honest, I haven't really even presented the show to anybody. But, you know, if we build a large enough audience, I think that that is the next logical step. And then we can bring you shows much more frequently and attract, of course, bigger guests and maybe travel and be amazing to follow the WSL to some events and kind of do a audio documentary a la Tour Notes. But, you know, much more detailed and nuanced. So a lot of potential for the show. And if we can grow the listenership, we can improve the quality of the show in terms of content, production value, all that stuff. So keep the word spreading. All right. Enjoy your week. Enjoy Margaret River as well, which is starting ASAP. So worldsurfleague.com is where you can watch all of that action. And we'll be back next time. Until then, this is David Scales reminding you, get out in the ocean, catch a couple waves, and shred on. Working my fingers to the bone. See, I do the best I can. My
Mama was a farmer. Papa was a goner.